Amen. So in Jesus, we always find hope and peace in the new year. I read from John chapter 14, verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives it. Do not." Now I want you to really pay attention to this. If you can find it in your Bibles, that's fine. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I'm giving you." You see, now, if I pick up this beautiful flower pot and I go to Amy and I say, "Miss Amy, this is a beautiful flower pot I'm giving you." What am I doing? I'm doing giving. But you know what? She could stand here, sit here for 25 minutes ignoring me with the flower. It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. But she's got to do something to get it. What do you have to do, Amy? Help me out. There it is. She received it. Jesus is doing the same thing to each one of us, to the whole world. People are trying to find peace. You can keep it for the service. Eh? Thank you for helping me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give you. I give you. Do not give. I do not give it to you as the world gives peace. Meaning, the world offers peace. But also the world offers a temporary peace. The world offers a peace that does not last. And I like this part. It says, Jesus said, "Do not let your heart." It's your responsibility to not let your heart be troubled. Sometimes I wish he could just do it for me. I wish sometimes Jesus would just like, make my heart not troubled. But his word says, it's your responsibility to not let your heart be troubled. But what do you do? Do not be afraid, but put all your hope in God. Proverbs 21 verse 5. It says, "The plans of the diligent leads surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." I also read from Luke chapter 14 verse 28. It says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough money to complete it?" I mean, for those of you that have worked in construction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't go out and build something unless you know you have enough money to finish it, right? Right, Dave? So what do? You plan. A plea, a new year plea. The first thing I'm going to challenge you to plan. Plan your life. You know, there's something a lot of people talk about. But before that, let's read Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. It says, "Commit your work to the Lord. Your plans will be established." Man, who doesn't want this? Even though we make plans, but the Lord has the outcome. I read the other day something, maybe Quinn, you shared that online, but I remember seeing it. Somebody said, man, whoever prayed, you remember December 31st, 2019? People were praying, you know, "Lord, we give you this year. Welcome 2020. Man, 2020, what a year. 2020 vision. It blinded a lot of people. But God still sits on his throne. You know, as much as it's sad to say, a lot of people have lost their first love through the year of 2020. Their passion for God. Their passion for holiness. But I can say, a lot of people have fallen more deeper in love with the Lord as well. Oh yeah, even though it might seem darkness is increasing, but darkness will never win. Light will always win. The Lord will always win. And that's the good news. You know, now, let me ask you this. What sort of New Year's resolution should a Christian make? I mean, we don't have time here to answer this question. But think about it. What sort of New Year's resolution should a Christian make? Now, I say Christian, but I also understand that many people in the world today, this week, are making New Year's resolution. As a matter of fact, during Christmas time, some people think in their mind, you know what? I'm going to go all out, eat a pie a day. You know? It doesn't matter. I can gain the weight, and then come January 1st, I'm going to make a New Year resolution. You know, the practice of making New Year resolution goes back over 3,000 years to the ancient Babylonians. There's just something about the start of a new year that gives the feeling of a fresh start, right? But when you really think about it, there's no difference between December 31st and January 1. Think with me. There is absolutely no difference between January 1st and December, January 1st, 2022, and December 31, 2021. It's up here. It's just another day. But everybody think, as a matter of fact, even social media and the news, the commercial on TV, everybody is all about a new beginning. Well, what about next month, February 1st? Why couldn't February 1st be a new beginning? Just think about, I'm thinking about these things, I'm like, that's just crazy. There's nothing mystical that happened December 31st at midnight. Of course, I think Ryan told me he watched the ball drop, and some of you guys have seen the ball drop. You're like, what is that? You know, some people sleep through the ball drop. But us as citizens of heaven, when we read the Bible does not speak against or for the concept of a New Year resolution. As a matter of fact, I think it's a very healthy thing to come up with a New Year resolution. I already told you last week some of my New Year resolution. If we would be in a small group, I would ask everybody here, what are some of your New Year resolutions? Maybe you don't have one. It's okay. You don't need one. But if you would have one, that would be awesome. If a Christian make a decision to make a New Year resolution, what would it be? This is a question. So I have up here, slide top right. You know, some people actually think about, you know, some of the common New Year resolution. What would it be? I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit smoking if you smoke, because it's not good for your lungs. Number one. Number two, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number three, you smell. I mean, this is a hard truth. So I was together with my brothers last week. I mean, good time. We haven't been together in years. But it was amazing how much I thank God for my brothers. I miss them. But I realized, man, we do have a good thing. But the thing we have is because we always call each other. We do FaceTime call between the three of us. And so when we got there, there was a good moment. So one of us had the idea to smoke a cigar. So, of course, we all roll with it. We're like, well, why not? Let's do it. So, yeah, we bought this small little cigar and stuff. And we're thinking, man, how does people do this thing? It's like, I mean, you do it for a living. Some people do smoking for a living. After you're done, you smell, your chest hurt, your head hurts, you ruin your teeth. So maybe some people today, this year, this new year, their new year resolution is to quit smoking. It's one of mine. I'm done. You know? It could be exercising or spend more time with your family. You know? Or, you know, exercising, losing weight. Or some people could be gaining more weight because some of us are a little more too skinny. Or some people might be like, you know what, eating healthy, more healthier. By far the most common New Year resolution would be those, right? Start or stop. Maybe some people would be like, you know what, I'm going to start reading the Bible more. But if I read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it instructs us to keep exercise in perspective. For it says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Godliness has value for all things. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The vast majority of New Year resolution, even among Christian, are in relationship to physical things. And, I mean, it's okay, but really, most of the time it doesn't last. Because by January 19th, we're going to find out there's New Year resolutions are out the window. Many Christians make New Year resolution to pray more, to read their Bible more. To attend church, I mean, if you go back to the other slide, you see up there, I have it up there. Some people put God, you know what, this year, I want to give God my heart. I want to read the Bible, you know. I'm gonna make sure I take care of my money. I'm gonna focus on my family. It's a good time to, you know, start new. But when you really think about it, these things are just, I mean, they're very good things if you could really do them. But however, these New Year's resolutions don't last. For example, why would people do this? These things. Some of these things are great, but why would you do it? Let's say I was a drinker. And New Year's, I'm like, you know what, this is it. This year I'm going to put my life in order. Why would I do it? I mean, you can think about it. I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm just going to throw questions at you. Why would I want to read my Bible more? Why do I want to spend time with God? As a preacher, as a son of God, I realize I need the Lord's anointing. I need a greater level. So it's a good time to be like, you know, this year, I'm going to be more intentional about spending time. I mean, you're like, well, weren't you spending time? I was. But this might be a good time for me to be, you know what? I'm going to fast TV for 20 days. One example, okay? Because normally when I get home, I want to unwind, right? That's a word? Unwind. Not rewind. If I wanted to, most of us, when we want to rewind, unwind, we. My brain plays tricks on me with the English. When I want to unwind, we want to kick back, sit back, you know, watch TV. There's nothing wrong with that if you're watching good stuff, clean stuff, things that are edifying. But What if I decide, you know what, this new year, I'm going to cover my TV for 20 days and to see what happened to me. And every time I want to watch TV, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put worship music on and I'm going to focus on the Lord. This is not religion. What if I say, you know what, I'm going to fast Facebook or social media for 15 days. Because you're not doing it for God. You're doing it for yourself. To just, you know, better yourself emotionally. I'm going to fast Snapchat. Some kids would go crazy. They wouldn't know what to do. Because before you know it, their brain's going to go there. I'm not saying that's what you should do, but think about it. What are some of the things, as everybody's excited about a new season, what are some of the things you should maybe fast? Get free. Guys, Jesus is coming back. This is a time to clean your heart. Clean your house. Don't serve God with any crutch. You don't need it. You don't need those things to feel fulfilled. There is enough in the presence of God. You know, this I don't know where you are with your marriage, in your relationship with your children. This would be a good time to be like, you know what? We're going to talk. This would be a good time to be like, you know what? We're just going to talk about this. This gives us this so many issues. We're going to make it. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to fix it. If we can't fix it ourselves, we're going to find help. It's a good time. New Year's revelation. Why would you do it? Would it be to honor God for your spiritual growth? Or, I mean, even some of the things we talk about, why would you turn your TV off? Now, if you're going to do it because I say to do it, you won't get the result, the lasting result. But if you're under conviction, if you are under conviction, you know what? I'm going to turn my TV off for 20 days. First 20 days of this new year, they're calling New Year's, I'm going to do it. I'm going to fast for 20 days. This is what I'm going to do. If you're under conviction to do it, I'm going to seek the Lord every day. I'm going to spend the first 45 minutes of the day. I'm going to wake up. And the moment you start making the decision in your mind, your whole body is against it. Because the flesh can never serve God. This flesh, my soul, it's evil. There's always evil in ourselves. But the Holy Spirit, our spirit is always willing. That's why we don't live according to the flesh. We live by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, we live. But if we continue to live by the flesh, we'll die. You know, a lot of people are putting a lot of emphasis on their physical bodies. It grieves me because nobody in this country, I talk about it already, nobody wants to get old. But I think there is wisdom in getting old. All of us will die. But think about it, guys. What's so good on earth that people want to stick around for so long? I don't see it. I'm only 44 and you think, I'm going 45 this year. Oh my goodness, 45. Yeah, some of you are like, wait till you're 60. But what is so awesome on earth? That's why I pray that God will continue to give us a kingdom perspective. I want to go to my home. I want to go to heaven. I want to. I'm ready. You know, so don't try to hang on to this life. You know, it's like you don't want to die. Nobody wants to get old. And they try. You can only try for so long. The body, the face, the neck will betray you. Even if you can cover everything else. Even the strength, your strength will betray you. Because in your brain, you might think, man, I can climb this 75-foot ladder. And then you get up there, you're like, oh no, I better quick get down. Because your body betrayed you. So why would people make a New Year resolution to better their physical body? Well, I hope, first of all, it's in their mind to realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you want to take care of your body. When you are at a normal, a healthy mental state, there's nothing like it. You're at peace. You sleep better. Jesus said, peace I give to you. Does the world need peace? Oh, yeah. Don't they need peace? Yes, they do. We talked about it. Families right now, some people, they can't get together with their families because there's no peace. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 tells us, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And I know this might be one of your favorite verse, right? I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And do you believe it? Do you believe that you can do all things? Why? Because my strength comes from the Lord. I can do all things. I can love people. I tell you one of the thing I'm very thankful to the Lord. My brothers, they watch my service too online. And before, I mean, there are certain things we don't see eye to eye. So before we all got together, we call and we talk about, you know, what's going on, some of the things that's going on, especially COVID, vaccine and mask and all this stuff. Because each of us are coming from different mindset, different places. And so we talk about it. Healthy conversation. You know how sad it is? If I see things different than Kathy, I have to be her enemy. That is sad, so pitiful. We don't have to see it eye to eye. I don't even have to understand you. But because you're my family, we will continue to love each other. That's a level of maturity a lot of people don't want to get to. And you think it's not easy. It's very easy. When we talk about our philosophy, we accept people. You accept people where they're at. So my brothers wanted me to do some things before I come. First of all, I started to retaliate inside. But then I realized, well, I love them a lot. And their relationship is more important than the thing they asked me to do. So guess what? I'm going to do it for the relationship. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. If I can do it, sure. If I can't. So by the time I was ready to go to Georgia, I couldn't do it. So then I called them. I was like, you know what, guys? This is what I've been doing. And I haven't been able to get an appointment anywhere. They're like, oh, man, no. It's just like we were talking about it, and we wanted to see where everybody's at. And the thing is, everybody was different, was at a different spot. But everybody was mature enough to realize our relationship is more important. I thank God for that. And we got together. We had the best time in our lives. Seriously. For 3 days. The best time in our lives. Peace I give unto you. You might be the agent of peace in your family. You might be. You might be the one. You get together with them. You might be the one that just swallow everything and let them roll over you. Not abuse you. Don't let anybody abuse you. But people can speak what they think. You just say, There's nothing like somebody's talking their opinion and you looking at them saying, There's nothing like it. Because does not mean you agree or you disagree. It's just, I hear you. But instead of saying, I hear you, you just say, Wisdom. Oh, my goodness. I can do all things. So because of Christ in me, I could prepare myself and to be around people that might see things different. This is maturity. John 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, if you remain in me and I in you, that person will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If God is the center of their New Year resolution, it has a chance for success. If God is the center, I don't know if you're making New Year resolution. You know, and I'm thinking, I'm not talking, my sermon today is not about New Year resolution. But I'm making a plea for you to plan your life. To plan. Plan to spend time with the Lord. What, you got it. Listen. I said, got it. This is Creole, got it. Listen. Plan to spend time with Jesus. Just like, I don't know what else you're passionate about. Be passionate about spending time with the Lord. Spending time in prayer. Be passionate. This is my plea to you this morning. Be passionate. I cannot lead you in places I haven't been. So therefore, more than ever, I'm passionate to read the Bible, to be in the Word, to be in worship. As a worship leader, I see it. I have to minister to the presence of the Lord. What I do, I come here, I turn the sound on, I worship. I worship Jesus. That's when he rubs on you. The more you spend time with him, the more he'll rub on you. And then when trouble comes, because trouble will come. None of us, I tell you, I'm not sorry to say this. Maybe some of us will die this year. This is not a prophecy. It might be me. You know, who wants to talk like that? It sounds like terrible. But when you think about it, we don't know what tomorrow brings. So the best thing I can do is trust and live today as it's my last day. With you, with my family, enjoy to do what I do. I'm not worrying about all these crazy things that are happening in this world. I can't change it. So because I can't change it, I'm not going to carry it and allow it to, you know, give me shoulder aches, back aches. No, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Help me out. Let it go. Lily, I got you right here. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go, guys. Take on the yoke of the Lord upon your shoulder as we face this new year. Be excited about the Lord. Be excited about his word. I'm never going to stop telling you. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a pure bride. Be diligent in serving God. Put excellence in serving God. Do it well. Do it well. You're citizen of heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. And soon, and very soon, he's coming for us. When I look at this world, I'm like, wow. We talk about it. We thought 4 years ago was rough. Everybody wants, right now, do you know a lot of people wants to live in a virtual world? They want to live in a world completely disconnected from human interaction. Everybody wants to be connected somewhere else. That's the plan of the enemy. So what sort of New Year revolution a Christian should make? Well, there it is. Number one, I'll give you a list. Pray to the Lord for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Do we need wisdom? I do. Anybody here wants wisdom? More wisdom? I do. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is knowledge applied. I hear that tomato is a fruit, right? But why, sometimes, most of the time when we make fruit salad, we don't put tomatoes in it. See, that's knowledge applied in making a fruit salad, knowing even though tomatoes is a fruit, your knowledge gives you wisdom not to add tomatoes in the fruit salad. So therefore, when you make a fruit salad, you succeed in making it by not adding tomatoes in it. How simple is that? I hear the Bible, I read the Bible, and I see what it says, so I apply it in my life. Wisdom is knowledge applied. So today I'm going to challenge you. I'm making a plea. Make it a priority to gain wisdom. Maybe some of the knowledge you had last year, this might be the season for you to apply them. Apply the knowledge you knew in your marriage. Apply the knowledge, the things you knew that would work your relationship with your children. Apply it. Jesus said, "If you die, unless you die, you can't be my disciple." And seriously, guys, sometimes we have to die to follow Christ. We have to die up here. We have to stop reasoning. We have to stop logic, making logic with the word of the Lord. Accept it and apply it in your life. And you will succeed. Number two, pray for wisdom as to how to fulfill the goal of God's in your life. Number three, rely on God's strength to help you. Not by power, not by might, by my spirit, says the Lord. This is where it comes when we say we need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit more than yesterday. I need His wisdom. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to give me the ability to do the things I should do. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to shut my mouth when I want to let out my opinion. Because sometimes, you know, the best thing you can do is to shut your mouth. Close it. Just repeat it in your brain. And say, you know, I can't say that. They're not ready to receive it. They're not ready to receive it. They're not ready to accept. In my family, I'm the teacher. I always have. People used to have a tendency that when I come across as the teacher. Because, you know, I always want to make their life better. But something that's really giving me peace with my family is I shut my mouth. I listen. And I know where they're at. Unless they bleed me for it, I don't give it. Guess what that gives me? It gives me peace with them. And it allows us to live well as a family. Because remember, your mate, you choose your mate. But your brother, your sisters, your dad, your mom, you didn't choose them. God gave them to you. So as long as it depends on you, do everything you can do to live at peace with them. You have peace. They might not have peace, but you do. You have peace. You can call them. They might never call you. But if you decide to call them, you call them. There's nothing in your heart. Number four, find an accountability partner who will help you and encourage you. Find an accountability partner who will help you and keep you accountable. And this is when I think a lot of people fail. That's why we encourage you here to find a home group. You know, I lead a home group. Bernie leads a home group. Kathy leads a home group. Janet leads a home group. If you want to be part in a home group, find help. Don't try to do the gospel by yourself. We all need accountability. You know, the things in your life that needs to get out, find somebody. Talk to that person. Confess it. Pray, and then remove it. You know, I talked to the guys here already. Men, it doesn't matter. You could be 90 years old, 97 years old. You're still in pornography. If you guys here, if you're watching online and you're dealing with that, you need to be set free from that. And one of the ways to get free from it is to find an accountability partner. You know? Don't go online by yourself. Or connect your computer or your phone with everybody else. If you go on Safari or you go on Google, it tells your wife where you go. That's what you call accountability. You know? And it's the same thing for the ladies too. Because it's crazy. Now, a lot of women are indulging in pornography. If you guys here, anybody here dealing with this stuff, please come talk to me. Find accountability. If you're a liar, repent. Find someone. Tell them. I just keep telling lies and I can't get away from it. Expose it. Oh, I remember, man, I was such a liar. I didn't know I was that bad. And I was, what, 16 or 17 and or 18 and I met the Lord. So I realized, man, I can't be a liar. But then for me, lying was almost like a second nature. Everything I say, sometimes I'm telling the truth, I have to lie. It's crazy. And I started to really dislike it because my conscience would just bother me. But I remember the day I make the step towards deliverance. It's confession. And I was talking to somebody and I told them a lie and my conscience told me. You know, it's just, you know, when you do something against the Holy Spirit, your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit. So if you keep a clear conscience, you'll be able to hear the voice of God. But if your conscience become dead, your conscience doesn't tell you things on certain things, or report you on certain things, or approve of certain things, that's when it's dead. So then that time, I was talking to the person, and I said something. It was a pretty lie, a very bad lie. You know, something that make me look good, you know, sounds good. And then my conscience told me, man, that was so bad. That was just not good. You know, and the defaults most of the time is I go to God. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, forgive me. And then I pray that. And then the voice of the Lord says, no, you need to confess to that lady. You need to expose that lie. You need to expose that spirit. In certain things we're dealing in our lives, the best way to get rid of it, to set free, is to expose it. Confess. Be careful who you confess to. But that at that time, the lady, I called her right away. Man, thank God. I called her. I said, come here. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She's like, what? What? I said, you know what? Everything I just told you was just a lie. Guys, that chain broke. The chain of lying broke over my life. And that's like I'm talking about back in 1999, 98, no, 97, something like that. See, that's why, good call. So in 2009, I was a plumber and the house market was going bad. Plumbing wasn't as great. So I needed a second job. I went to be a car salesman. That was the worst job in my life. I sold 2 cars in 9 months. I sold 1 to Kendra's uncle and 1 to my best friend. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Finally, the company called me. They're like, man, you fired because you're not helping us. 9 months later, I was the worst car salesman ever. I couldn't lie. It was a dog-eat-dog community, you know, and I'm like, you know, it taught me how to protect myself and defend myself, not to allow people to take advantage of me. But at the same time, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it, and at that time, I couldn't quit. If I could, I could have been like, you know what, I quit. But I really needed the job because I couldn't go back plumbing full-time. So I got fired. I couldn't do it. So I don't know what you're dealing with. Find accountability. This might be the year to find an accountability partner. There are many pastors out there. You know, you're so up there. And in reality, it's like you're so up there because people do put you on a pedestal. And as a matter of fact, yeah, I have great responsibility and great authority as a pastor. But if I don't have accountability, I'm vulnerable. I'm very vulnerable. I got to protect myself. My first accountability partner should be my wife. And then come Kenton. See, I have to have good friendship with Kenton. And then I have good friendship with her father. He's another mentor in my life. I've got tons of friends that are my peer. So I have to protect myself. If I'm dealing with anything, sin, I have to talk about it. Other than that, I'm dead. And there's nothing worse than being in the office of authority and to fail morally. Accountability. Find it. Number five, don't become discouraged with occasional failures. Instead, allow them to motivate you for the future. Don't become discouraged with occasional failures. Instead, allow them to motivate you for the future or to motivate you further. This is my plea to you today as we face the new year. And we all deal with stuff. Find somebody. Number one, I'm going to go over them again. Number one, pray for the Lord's wisdom regarding what you need to make change in your life. Number two, pray for wisdom as to how to fulfill the goals God gives you. Number three, pray for wisdom as to how to fulfill the goals God gives you. Number three, rely on God's strength to help you. Number four, find an accountability partner who will help you and encourage you. Number five, don't become discouraged with occasional failures. Instead, allow them to motivate you further or for the future. Number six, don't become proud or vain. You see, that's why I don't judge a liar. I know how it is. Terrible. When someone, I tell you, it grieves my heart, especially when I hear a pastor is going down, or any leader. You know what was on the news this week? There's something big on the news, somebody that got convicted for doing child pornography. That's so bad. I think it was on the news this week. I read it. It was a lady. Be humble. If the Lord deliver you, you be merciful towards somebody that's still dealing with it. Psalm 37, and I'm going to finish with this. It says, commit your way to God, to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. I'll invite Dan to come and lead us in a song or two. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, as we face, we step into this new year, day two in 2022. Father, I pray, just like all these verses and your word that was spoken, Father, I pray those words would fall into good soil and we would act on them. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, now, if the Lord was speaking to you this morning and you feel like you need prayer, or if you need to confess something, this might be the good time. I'm going to wait for you right here. Just answer. Give an answer to the Lord's word this morning. There is no judgment. There is no condemnation. But this is actually a good time. I'm making a plea to you guys. Not only to clean house, but to make a plan to continue to follow the Lord.